Good afternoon and welcome. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. The impact of the tragedy that occurred Tuesday morning is just beginning to be felt in Baltimore, throughout Maryland, and around the world. The bodies of two members of the construction crew, Alejandro Hernandez Fuentes and Dorlian Roniel Castillo Cabrera, who were killed when the cargo ship Dalí struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, were recovered from the Patapsco River on Wednesday. A salvage operation is underway to clear the area so divers can continue the search for the other workers who were killed. U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg announced that the federal government will make available $60 million in emergency funds to get the cleanup underway. The country's largest crane arrived in Baltimore last night. A little later here on Midday, I'll speak with Baltimore County Councilman Todd Crandall, who represents Dundalk and the rest of District 7. But we begin with Baltimore City Councilman Zeke Cohen, who represents the city's first district, which includes part of the Port of Baltimore. Councilman, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom. It's good to be with you.
So tell us the kinds of businesses in your district that are going to be affected in addition to the port. We're told that in excess of 150,000 workers have jobs that are in some way related to the port, about 15,000 directly at the port and 140,000+ in other jobs. What kinds of jobs are we talking about?
Yeah, so I do represent a major part of the port, and this is a devastating hit to our local economy. The reality is that the port drives so much, not just local, but regional and national commerce. It is one of the main ports for the United States of America. And so to have it shut down, functionally shut down for an extended period of time is devastating, of course, to the folks that work directly at the port, many of whom are Baltimoreans, many are my constituents, but then also just all the sort of surrounding supply chain issues, folks up and down that chain. You think about the local restaurants that serve port workers, all the local businesses here. So it is a, in addition to the human toll of the deaths of the six construction workers, there is a profound economic impact both for Baltimore and the region.
So for those workers in the city of Baltimore who have lost their jobs or will lose their jobs because of this tragic accident, and right now all signs point to it being an accident, what kind of city resources are available for those whose jobs are affected?
Yeah, so let me share a few resources. Number one, I know that the some of our city state Senate and delegates, I know Senate President Ferguson and Delegate Luke Clippinger, both of whom represent me in the 46th district, have initiated emergency legislation to bring financial relief to the folks who are directly impacted. And that is obviously a huge, hugely important bill that they're working on, because we know, again, this is devastating for so many families that rely on these good middle class jobs. So that's first and foremost. Also, I know that the governor's team has been working closely with Mayor Scott and the city around the unemployment website and making sure that people have access to unemployment. Again, we know that folks are going to be out of work for an extended period of time. And in the past, Tom, I know you remember, certainly during the pandemic, there were enormous challenges under the previous governor with just being able to access unemployment insurance and just even get on the website. It would crash. There was no one on the back end. And so I know Governor Moore has been working very closely with Mayor Scott and the folks locally to make sure people can access their unemployment benefits.
Yeah, and at his press conference last night, he announced a special hotline for that purpose. Yeah, we don't have that in front of us, but we'll try to find and get it on our website.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I wanted to say, and you know, I've sort of been sharing this as much as I can, is what has been extraordinary to me is just the incredible outpouring of love and support that we've seen from restaurants, from small businesses, from just regular Baltimoreans. Like, my phone has been blowing up, Tom, for the last couple of days from folks from every pocket of our city and our state, just saying, what can I do to help? I was out there 2 days ago with Eki Ben, giving out tofu buns and neighborhood birds to the divers and the first responders. Yesterday, went with the one of the local building unions, IBEW, to give out food at our emergency operations center. That has been what has been so heartening about this horrific crisis, is seeing Baltimoreans rally and lift each other up in this time of darkness for our city and really for our country. And it's just the thing that I hope media, particularly the national media, can take away, is that while we're a city that gets knocked down a lot, we pull ourselves back up. And you've seen that all over Baltimore, both the city and the county. And that's really what's kept me so energized during this crisis.
Part of your district includes Highland Town, Patterson Park. It's a heavily Hispanic part of our city, and the Latino community, very, very directly affected by this. The six families of those construction workers who were lost, all hail originally from that part of the world. Anything in particular being done to help, and are there opportunities for people to help the Latino community in particular?
Yeah, and I'm so glad you bring that up, Tom, because that's absolutely right. Someone in one of the interviews, this was not me, but someone said, you know, it was Latino folks who lost their lives on that bridge, and it will likely be Latino folks who rebuild the bridge. This is a community that I am proud to represent that is both a driver of Baltimore's local economy. You know, during the recession, when Baltimoreans, white and black, were moving out of the city, this is a community that moved in to Highland Town, to Patterson Park, to Upper Fells Point, to Greektown, to Bayview, and really stabilized these neighborhoods. And we're now seeing an economic resurgence in my district in Southeast Baltimore, in large part because of the Latino community that dug in and did the work when many folks didn't want to. And so I am always in awe of the former president's rhetoric when he says things about our Hispanic neighbors, because it's just so dead wrong. They are such a driver for good in my city. And so I was there yesterday at Comité Latino, which is a Latino community association. And Tom, it was very somber. I mean, there is this feeling of sadness. You remember just a couple of weeks ago in Highland Town, we lost some neighbors in that horrific house fire, including two children. It has just felt like a dark and difficult time for our Latino community in Baltimore. But once again, folks were rallying. People were figuring out what they could do. And there is a specific fund that the Civic Fund started that I'm going to text message to your show so that folks have the link. But it's been vetted, and it is to support the families in the aftermath. There was also a fund that I forget, it was CASA or MEMA, started, and within 24 hours, it had raised $98,000.
Yeah, that's the Latino Racial Justice Circle. They started something called the Key Bridge Emergency Response Fund. I think the other one you're referring to is the Baltimore Community Foundation. They've started something called the Key Bridge Emergency Fund. And full disclosure, I serve on the board of the Baltimore Community Foundation, but they are raising money for people affected by this. And the Key Bridge Emergency Response Fund, the Latino Racial Justice Circle, as you mentioned, they've now actually raised more than $100,000. And that's money that's going to go directly to the families of the workers who were lost.
That's right. And I do think there's an additional one that the Civic Fund is running through Baltimore. But again, Tom, what I think has been just so heartening in the midst of this tragedy is to see how Baltimoreans have responded, how we've rallied behind the first responders, how we've, you know, been there on the site, making sure folks are getting fed. To see that dive team, I mean, just the incredible bravery, you know, the banner, and you all have done some really good work on just the challenges of trying to find, you know, the people that plunged from the bridge amid debris, amid the chaos and the carnage, the dust that is making it almost impossible to see, the frigid temperatures. I mean, it's just the humanity and extraordinary resilience that we've seen from Baltimoreans, from our fire department, from our first responders, from people on the ground has just been incredible to me. And I just love to see my city standing up in this moment of crisis.
Absolutely. A terrible tragedy, but also a heart-lifting reaction. Baltimore City Councilman Zeke Cohen, he represents District 1 on the City Council. He's also a candidate for City Council President in the Democratic primary. He's running against the incumbent Nick Mosby and former City Councilwoman Shannon Sneed. Councilman Cohen, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate you.
And we turn now to the councilman from the other side of the river, Baltimore County Councilman Todd Crandall, who represents District 7. That includes Dundalk. That's where the north side of the Francis Scott Key Bridge began. Councilman, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for having me on this difficult time.
It is a difficult time. Folks in Dundalk directly affected. Many of them, you know, looked out their kitchen windows, their living room windows, and they saw that bridge. What are you hearing from your constituents who, you know, literally live in the shadow of that iconic piece of architecture?
They are they're saddened. I think they've gone really through, I guess, what you could call a grief process. Where, of course, saddened by the potential loss of life, and then to learn that deaths were confirmed. And there was also a lot of shock because, as you said, this is the Key Bridge was an iconic architectural piece of our identity here in the Dundalk area. It's been a part of so many people's lives and just in terms of commuting to get back and forth to work. Plus, you know, there are many neighborhoods. One in particular I could think of in Dundalk, the Harborview neighborhood, is kind of elevated, sits up on a hill, and you see the bridge. If you live up that way or around that neighborhood, you look down and see the bridge every day. And so there's there's an emotional impact, both on the loss of life and then a loss of something that really, since it was built in 1977 or opened in 1977, was part of our everyday lives in the Dundalk area.
What have you heard from officials that you've spoken with about the possibility of environmental damage, environmental problems? We have learned that there were multiple containers of hazardous materials on the Dali, the cargo ship that rammed into the bridge, and that some of those hazardous materials did end up in the water. Have you heard anything about that? Are residents in the Dundalk area near the water there, are they in any danger?
I don't believe at this time that our residents are in any danger, and I would defer to the environmental people, MDE, certainly Maryland Department of the Environment. There is obviously a concern there with the materials that we do know that are producing what has been called a sheen on the water. Right now, as far as I am aware, there's nothing flammable, but these are materials that should not be in the water. So I'm going to trust that the professionals, the environmental and salvage professionals that obviously know what they're doing to provide the cleanup that is necessary, not just the salvage and opening the channel, but to try to mitigate and capture as much of these contaminants as possible. I do know that there are sunken containers of hazardous material, and salvage efforts are currently being engineered. It's a very dangerous situation in terms of salvage. So I'll wait until the authorities can brief us on the extent of the environmental impact of the collapse of the bridge and the ship crash.
If you've just joined us, it's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. My guest is Todd Crandall. He is a Baltimore County councilman who represents the 7th District. That includes Dundalk, right down near where the Francis Scott Key Bridge was destroyed just a few days ago. We're talking about the aftermath of that incredible tragedy with ramifications for the economies and for people, not just here in our community, but literally around the world. Councilman, what do you hear about what is anticipated to happen at Trade Point Atlantic? That's an area that is south of the bridge, where the bridge was, and therefore not affected by it. The other boats can't get through into the various loading points in the port of Baltimore itself, but Trade Point, where Beth Steele used to be, is outside of that area. I guess they are certainly still up and running, and they can anticipate considerably more traffic there, can't they?
Well, that's correct. Trade Point Atlantic is the it's a global logistics hub with a strong past in the last 9 or 10 years from building from the remnants of a vacant steel mill, what was Bethlehem Steel, another iconic employer, iconic place for my constituents. They jut out onto the Patapsco River, and you don't have, as you said, you don't have to go through the bridge in order to get to the Port of Baltimore. So Trade Point has been in discussions with various officials, including Secretary Buttigieg, various state officials, and with the governor, the county executive, and myself on their response and offer of partnership with the Port of Baltimore. So that means that they will open up facilities and can help take in some of the cargo. Most specifically, I'm envisioning roll-on, roll-off of autos. The Port of Baltimore is the busiest importer of foreign automobiles in the country, and Trade Point is positioned well to receive some of that type of cargo. I think discussions and planning are ongoing as to how Trade Point can provide some relief, but they do not have a fully functioning container port at Trade Point. There's one that has been proposed, and they are working on their due diligence on that. But that is a what could be a 3 to 5 year project that hasn't been permitted yet. So Trade Point is stepping up and helping out, but it is it's a bit of a relief. But when you consider the scope and scale of the Port of Baltimore, it's not going to get the longshoremen back to work in the numbers that we would like to see, and it simply will not be able to handle just the sheer size and infrastructure of the port compared to that of Trade Point. Will not allow for the amount of cargo that comes in and out of the Port of Baltimore to be done solely at Trade Point. So I think there's things that we need to exercise patience on, things like the opening of the port, provide the help where we can to the workers that are impacted. I know that Councilman Cohen talked a little bit about that previously. So we have a long way to go, and we're going to have to exercise patience. That includes being patient with new commuter routes that people are going to have to find a different way to go to work.
Yeah, so it's estimated that at least 8,000 more people will be using the tunnels now that they can't use the Key Bridge anymore. That is going to create huge jams within the city limits, but also those who have to traverse the entire beltway to get from one side to the other rather than taking the bridge. It's just going to add a lot of time and a lot of miles to their trips.
Right, right. I agree. I did receive some news today. I'm not sure it has been made public yet, but the immediate goal is to open a one-way channel into the port, and engineering is being done right now on how to conduct a salvage operation in order to provide a one-way channel. So there are, I believe, 8 ships that are currently in the port, and there are 11 out in the bay that are at anchor. Whether they get rerouted or waited out, I'm not sure. A one-way channel to open up some operation at the port would certainly be a step in the right direction.
Any idea on the time frame for that?
Do not have a time frame. All that we know so far is that engineering is working with the salvage folks to figure out the best way and how to do that safely.
We talked about ways to help people directly affected by this in Baltimore County in Dundalk. There's a concert tonight from 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock at the Key Brewing Company in Dundalk. It's called Support the Port. All of the donations from that event will go to port workers. Anything else in particular that the county is doing to assist those whose employment has been affected by this tragedy?
Sure. So I talked briefly with the county executive a little while ago, and I have a call scheduled with the director of our Economic Development and Workforce Agency. That call is scheduled for later this afternoon. The county is working with the Fed, state, and local agencies to assist and supplement the help that organizations like the United States Small Business Association and the labor arm of Governor Moore's administration to look at various opportunities that are already in place, and many of them COVID-related, and the county will work with those agencies, is already working with them to sort of mobilize those efforts. So if there are additional hotlines that need to be established, or there are state and federal grants that need to be executed on the local level, our people in Baltimore County are already already on that effort to mobilize the different opportunities that may be out there to provide those impacted with assistance. I think Councilman Cohen mentioned that this kind of reminiscent of COVID and what the county did to mobilize resources.
Right.
I don't have at this point, I wish I had more to share on that, but I do know that our people are working diligently on, again, mobilizing and gathering resources and then going to work on putting them out there in an understandable way so people that are impacted can access these particular resources.
Baltimore County Councilman Todd Crandall represents the 7th District on the County Council. Councilman, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. We'll stay in touch.
Tom, thank you very much. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. And up next, an internationally acclaimed artist from West Baltimore joins me to talk about the retrospective of her work at the Baltimore Museum of Art. The great Joyce Scott is my guest on the other side of a quick break. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
This is 88.1 WIPR.